Spring into deals for seasonal savings. Shop select 1-pint annuals for just $1. Plus, get a free additional Cobalt 40-volt 2-amp-hour battery when you buy select Cobalt 40-volt trimmer and blower combo kit. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid to 5/6. Annuals offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There's a 911 call that's been played a million times now. You can find it everywhere online. And when you hear it, the first thing you feel, before you know anything about the case, before you know a single detail, is that the man is terrified on it. He's sobbing so hard he can barely get the words out. His voice cracks and catches and breaks apart. Somebody broke into my home and shot my wife, he tells the dispatcher. She's got two shots in her head. There's blood everywhere. Those are some of the words. My God. It's 2:30 in the morning on February 16th. 2026, Cunningham Fort, Tip City, Ohio. It's a quiet cul-de-sac about 20 miles north of Dayton, the kind of street where kids ride bikes and families wave at each other from driveways. The Flynns had lived there for about 4 or 5 years. I got two elementary-age daughters, two golden doodles, a volleyball net in the backyard, a basketball hoop along the driveway, the kind of family the neighbors would later describe as wonderful. And now, the dead of the night, Caleb Flynn is on the phone with 911 saying his wife Ashley is bleeding and unresponsive in their master bedroom. He tells the dispatcher he doesn't know if the intruder is still inside the house. He says it's pitch black, says his daughters are asleep down the hall. The call goes on for nearly 8 minutes. He is frantic. He is panicked. He is, by every audible measure, a man in crisis. At one point during the call, the dispatcher tells him to place a cloth over the gunshot wounds. He's trying to relay information while choking on his own breath. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, he repeats. He tells the dispatcher the door leading to the garage was wide open. He says he found it that way. He describes his wife as shot in the head twice and unresponsive. And through all of this, his two daughters are asleep in their bedroom, unaware that their mother is dying or already dead just rooms away. Police arrive at 932 Cunningham Court within minutes. What they found inside would become the foundation of one of the most closely watched murder cases in the country. Ashley Flynn, who was 37 years old, a substitute teacher, a seventh grade volleyball coach, a mother of two, was found in bed in the master bedroom. She experienced two bullets in the head. Tip City Police Chief Greg Adkins would later confirm the two wounds. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Two shell casings were found on the floor near the foot of the bed. Her daughters, both elementary age, had not woken up. They were still in their bedroom. The family's two golden doodles were also in the home. According to the affidavit, the children did not wake up through the entire incident. Caleb told responding officers he had not been sleeping in the master bedroom that night. He said he had a cough and had been in his daughter's room instead. He told them about firearms in the home, a shotgun, a pellet gun, and a handgun that he said he kept in the center console of his truck, a 2024 Ford pickup parked in the garage. When officers walked to the garage, they found the center console open. Then they found something else. A side door on the north side of the garage, it was open. That's consistent with Caleb's account. He told the 911 dispatcher he found the door to the garage wide open when the shooting happened. An intruder presumably came through that door. But here's the problem. In front of that door sat a large refrigerator. According to the affidavit filed in the case, that refrigerator would have had to be pushed to open the door. Think about that, Pod, for a second. The story being told on that 911 call is that someone broke into this home in the middle of the night, got past a door blocked by a refrigerator, walked through the garage, moved through the house with two dogs and two sleeping children. Let me back up a second. Got past the refrigerator, went into his truck, opened the console, got his gun, then got into the house, shot her twice in the head with a 9mm handgun and left without waking anyone, without the dogs being alerted, without leaving any trace of themselves, except apparently a side door that was open but physically obstructed. That's the detail that changed everything. Not alone, but as the first visible crack in a narrative that investigators say didn't really hold up under scrutiny of any sort. On March 2nd, about 2 weeks after the shooting, Tip City Police released the body cam footage from that night. The video is redacted inside the house, but what it captures outside is raw and visceral. Caleb Flynn is seen on camera crying, struggling to breathe, visibly shaking. He vomits in the front yard. He makes phone calls to his mother, to Ashley's mother. Someone broke in and shot her, he tells them. His voice is wrecked. When asked by officers whether there are guns in the house, he lists them, a shotgun, the pellet gun, and the handgun. In the truck outside, officers note the open console. Officers note the side door. Officers note the refrigerator. At one point, the children's grandmother arrives. She tries to comfort Caleb, and he says something that, really depending on what you believe about this case, is either the most heartbreaking thing that a father could say or the most calculated. The girls don't know. Later in the footage, he asks an officer the question that has haunted anyone who's watched the video. Is she gone, sir? Is she? When Ashley's mother arrived to take the girls, Caleb agreed to go with detectives to the Tip City Police Station. It was around 4:30 in the morning. He went voluntarily. According to the affidavit, no further documents were filed detailing what he said to investigators during that interview or how long it lasted. Whatever happened in that room, whatever questions were asked, whatever answers were given has never been made public, at least not yet. That silence in a case defined by what's said on tape and what's found at the scene is its own kind of evidence, not of guilt or innocence, of how carefully this investigation has been managed from the beginning. From the first hours, this case has been handled with a level of deliberation that suggests investigators knew exactly how high profile it could become. The Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation and the FBI were brought in early. Good move. Federal resources deployed alongside state and local agencies in what was being investigated as a domestic case in a small Ohio city. For 3 days, the community held its breath. Tip City is small. It's about 10,000 people. The kind of place where news travels on group texts and through school pickup lines. The kind of place where everyone knows the volleyball coach and the worship pastor. The shooting didn't just rattle the Flynn's neighborhood. It sent a wave of fear through the entire community. If someone could break into a home on Cunningham Court, a quiet cul-de-sac with families and kids and dogs, well, then nowhere felt safe. Tip City Police addressed it midweek with a statement that was carefully worded and quietly devastating. Investigators believe this was an isolated incident targeted at this specific residence. There is no information indicating the community is in danger. An isolated incident targeted at this specific residence. No danger to the community. That statement did two things at once. It claimed, or rather, it calmed the neighborhood, and it pointed, without naming anyone directly, straight at the people inside that house. If the community wasn't in danger, then the threat wasn't external, it was internal. And only three adults were in that house that night. Ashley, Caleb, and according to Caleb, an intruder that investigators were increasingly suggesting didn't exist. On Thursday, February 19th, 82 hours after Ashley was found dead, two things happened within hours of each other that would define the rest of this case. First, The couple's church, Christian Life Center in Butler Township, announced a celebration of life for Ashley Flynn. It was scheduled for that coming Sunday. The church where both Ashley and Caleb had served. She is a member and volunteer. He, as the worship pastor leading the congregation in song, was preparing to publicly mourn a woman its community loved. Second, Tip City Police arrested Caleb Flynn. He was charged with one count of murder, two counts of felonious assault, and two counts of tampering with evidence. He was booked into the Miami County Jail. The timing was impossible to ignore. The church was announcing how it would honor Ashley's life at the same moment police were concluding that her husband had taken it. Might make for awkward coffee and donut time after the service. The criminal complaint filed the next morning ahead of Caleb's arraignment contained the phrase that has defined this case ever since. According to investigators, officer had been led astray by the staging. Those are the words used. Staging of the crime scene. Staging, not a break-in, not a burglary gone wrong, not a random act of violence by a stranger in the night. The prosecution, their position laid out in that complaint, was that the scene at 932 Cunningham Court was deliberately arranged to look like something that it wasn't. The open door, the open console, the appearance of forced entry, all of it, according to the state, was theater. By Friday morning, everything had shifted. Caleb appeared for his arraignment via video from the Miami County Jail. He pled not guilty to all charges, but in a moment that has been replayed and dissected and argued about endlessly since, he told Judge Samuel Huffman, "I just want to take care of my daughters. I'm not a risk." The judge set his bond at $2 million. That same Friday, the church canceled the public memorial for Ashley, replacing it with a private invite-only service. A church where Caleb had led worship was now trying to figure out how to mourn the woman he was accused of taking out. The grief that should have been shared became something the community had to carry in smaller, quieter rooms. And on Cunningham Court, the cul-de-sac went quiet. The volleyball net was still in the backyard. The baseball hoop was still in the driveway. But the family that used them was gone. One member dead, at least. One in jail. And two little girls placed in the care of relatives, beginning a new life they never asked for. In a world that was still trying to understand what happened inside their home. The Tip City Police Chief spoke carefully in those days. The family and community deserve a thorough, professional, and compassionate investigation into this very sensitive matter. Greg Atkins said, as a result of the investigation, probable cause existed to charge Caleb Flynn with the murder of his wife. Due to the ongoing nature of this case, specific investigative details will not be released at this time. The last sentence would become the refrain of this case. So much has remained hidden. The 911 call is public. The body cam footage is public. The affidavit is public. But the full picture, what Caleb told detectives during the voluntary interview with digital evidence investigators have gathered, what the financial records show, all of it has stayed behind closed doors, building towards a courtroom that is now, as of this recording, just weeks away. What we knew by the end of the first week was stark. Ashley Flynn, a 37-year-old mother, teacher, and volleyball coach who died 8 days before her 38th birthday, was gone. Her husband has called 911 in what sounded like genuine terror. The physical evidence at the scene allegedly told a different story than the one his voice was telling. And within 82 hours, he was in the Miami County Jail, charged with her murder, accused of staging the very crime scene he'd reported. That first week was just the surface. Beneath the 911 call and the body cam footage and the affidavit was a life, actually two lives. And the public was only beginning to see. A former American Idol contestant, a worship pastor, a family business, life insurance policy, and a community that was about to learn that the story of Cunningham Court didn't start at 2:30 in the morning on February 16th. It started long before that, and the evidence trail the prosecution has been building reaches into corners of Caleb Flynn's life that no 911 call could cover. That is coming up in part two. Four-part series this week on the Caleb Flynn story as we lead up to the trial. Press subscribe so you don't miss it as we dig into the image and the man who Caleb Flynn is, was, and continues to be. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. The links are in the description. We'll continue our conversation right there. If you're getting ready for watching that trial and following it, you found the right place. It'll get you completely up to speed before it all starts. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.